Thanks, Nathan. Good morning, and congratulations to everybody who ran over the Bay Bridge yesterday. Nathan and I did that very same thing last year, didn't we? Had a good time. We missed it this year, indeed, but we congratulate everybody who made it across the bridge yesterday. This morning, we're going to talk about housing. In the last few weeks, there has been much discussion about Housing Commissioner Paul Graziano and the troubled state of Baltimore's public housing. Some residents of public housing have been living in this troubled state for years. Mr. Graziano enjoys the support of Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake and some public housing residents who gave him a somewhat limited endorsement last week. But several mayoral candidates have called for Graziano to resign. There have been allegations of sexual abuse on the part of maintenance workers in the Gilmore homes and other locations. Two union representatives in the department were disciplined after they filed an affidavit in the lawsuit surrounding those allegations. They were later reinstated. Senior citizens went without heat or water for several days last month at the Lakeview Towers in Reservoir Hill. And questions arose last week about the elimination of the Inspector General's office at the Housing Authority. Over the years, there have been lawsuits on issues ranging from lead paint to segregation. And soon after Mr. Graziano was appointed to his position by then-Mayor Martin O'Malley, he was arrested at a Fells Point bar for a drunken anti-gay tirade. He entered rehab, and he's stayed on to head the housing agency for the last 15 years. We have asked Mr. Graziano several times to be on our show, and he has, through a spokesman, declined those invitations. But today, we want to talk about Paul Graziano's leadership of the city's largest agency, as well as some of the bigger picture political, racial, and economic dynamics of public housing. Luke Broadwater joins me on the phone from his home in Baltimore. He wrote an excellent profile of Mr. Graziano in yesterday's Baltimore Sun. And Ed Getz is on the line from Paris. He's a professor of sociology at the University of Minnesota and the author of a book called New Deal Ruins, Race, Economic Justice, and Public Housing Policy. Welcome to you both. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And Luke Broadwater, let me start with you. Mr. Graziano has two really big jobs. He leads the Housing Authority of Baltimore City. And as I understand it, that's funded by HUD, a federal agency. And he's also the director of the city's Department of Housing and Community Development. Tell us what the distinction is between those two and what the totality of those two areas of responsibility mean for him.
Right. Well, one's a city job and one's a federal job. At the end of the day, though, both are in some way accountable to the mayor of Baltimore. She appoints him to his city job, and the she then appoints the board, which hires him to the federal job. So while he does have a board that technically oversees him on the federal side, they are in some way accountable to the mayor as well. The federal side is largely dealing with the public housing. We have about 20,000 residents in public housing. It's the fifth largest public housing agency in the United States, despite being we're about the 22nd largest city. And there are lots of different complexes that he has to manage. On the other side, on the city side, he's largely doing things like code enforcement. The vacancy to values program falls under him. It's more community housing programs in the community, such as, you know, rehabbing vacants and tearing down vacants and things like that.
You spoke with him on Friday. In your piece in yesterday's Sun, you characterized him as feeling misunderstood. In what ways does he think people are misunderstanding what he's been doing as housing commissioner?
Sure, yeah. Well, so over the last several weeks, if not months, he's been under intense fire. And much of it justified, right? There's housing complexes going without heat and water. You had the worst one was Lakeview Towers, obviously, which you mentioned in the intro. But there was also the Monument East Apartments in East Baltimore, which was without water for a lower period of time, shorter period of time. There was the housing, the Stex for Repair scandal in the Gilmore Homes that's now spread to other complexes as well. So it's been a litany of things, all of which, you know, we've been reporting on blow by blow in the paper. I'm sure you guys have been reporting on as well on the radio. And he feels like in this flurry of negativity around his management that many of the good things he's doing are being overlooked. He feels like he's done a lot of good work on vacancy values. He feels like when he took over the agency, they had no computer system. They had very negative federal reviews at the time. And so he, you know, he's done a lot to improve the agency, he says, and people are blaming him for problems that are really national funding problems. He points to the fact that they only get about $15 million now from the federal government each year for repairs. They used to get $45 or $42 million a year. And so how can they possibly keep up with the amount of work that needs to be done when the feds have largely cut, and Congress has largely cut almost all the funding that's available for public housing? He says it's a really federal funding thing and it's not him making all these decisions and being a bumbler, so to speak. It's the state of public housing in general.
Sure. And Ed Getz, you've written about this for many years, and you write about a discourse of disaster around public housing. In other words, the way we're talking about it, the way we're assuming things are going is very negative, and that in turn has sort of led to perhaps reduced expectations and, self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. Do you think that's perhaps part of what's going on here in Baltimore?
Well, I think this discourse of disaster that I write about is largely driven by these very high-profile failures of public housing in some major cities. Chicago, Atlanta, Philadelphia, and perhaps Baltimore can be included in that as well. What is interesting, I think, about this, though, is that this kind of situation doesn't apply to all public housing. We tend to think of public housing generally as a failure because of these high-profile problems. But in most places where it exists, and at most times, public housing has worked fairly well.
That's Ed Getz. He joins us on the line from Paris. He is the author of the book New Deal Ruins, Race, Economic Justice, and Public Housing Policy. Luke Broadwater also joins us on the phone. And we're sorry to say that Luke's three-year-old daughter is having a bout of strep throat. We hope she is feeling a little bit better soon. So, Luke,
you can hear in the background, I think.
We can indeed, and we're pulling for it. Tell her we hope she feels better. Some people, including former Mayor Kurt Schmoke, for example, find it hard to believe that Mr. Graziano, or at least somebody on his senior staff, knew nothing about these allegations of sexual harassment at the Gilmore Homes and now at other locations. I think at last count, there are 11 women who have stepped forward to join in this lawsuit. When Stephanie Rawlings Blake was elected mayor, her transition team pointed to a vision deficit on the part of Mr. Graziano. There seems to be this, sort of incredulity about what he knows and about his leadership ability, and this has been going on for a long time. However, he's still there. I mean, he's been there for 15 years. He certainly is, if nothing else, a survivor, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of reasons why he's stayed on the job for so long. One, and I mentioned this in the article, he's politically astute. He didn't like this when I mentioned this to him, but he has given $20,000 over the years to the various campaigns of the mayoral of his bosses. And he's also hired some of their close allies and friends. I mean, he famously hired Sheila Dixon's boyfriend for a high-ranking post after she told him to do so. And that's been a dispute between them back and forth. His chief of staff is now the mayor, one of the mayor's lifelong friends. That's not to say she's unqualified for the job. She's a lawyer in her own right, but he does know how to put himself in with the right people. That said, I think that the mayors in general have at least thought he did a good job with the situation he had on hand. And I think that your other guest brings up a good point, that the public housing doesn't have to be this way. It wasn't this way for many years in Baltimore even. It was a respectable place to live. I talked with Kurt Schmoke, who grew up in the Latrobe Homes, and when he grew up in them, there wasn't mold all over the walls. It was a respectable way to live your life, and now he's ashamed to go into the Latrobe Homes. So it's It isn't this way everywhere in the country. It doesn't necessarily have to be this way.
Sure, and Ed Getz, you're right that in the current policy environment, public housing is no longer seen as even a resource worth preserving. I mean, have we given up nationally on public housing? For example, Luke reported that in 2010, a federal study found a $26 billion backlog in capital repairs needed for buildings in public housing. You know, have we just thrown in the towel?
Well, I think largely we have at the federal level. I think that there are some housing authorities around the country that are hanging on and seem to make a go of it. It's difficult at best, but the fact of the matter is that that Congress is underfunding the program, and although I don't have any firsthand knowledge of the Baltimore situation, what was described earlier about the reduction in maintenance funds is consistent with what you hear across the country, that local housing authorities simply do not get the funds from Congress that they need to run this housing. And so many of them are moving to privatize this housing, and in doing so, they tear down the housing, they rebuild it in different ways, but also with private ownership models. So I think in a very fundamental way, we are at a crossroads where we're giving up on this program.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate your time. We will continue to cover this as we have over the last several weeks here on Maryland Morning, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Luke Broadwater from the Baltimore Sun. Ed Getz is the author of New Deal Ruins, Race, Economic Justice, and Public Housing Policy. We've got more information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Ahead on the program, Steve Inskeep joins us to talk about his latest book in advance of his talk here in Baltimore tomorrow night. First, here is Mr. Stirner.